From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by the number 7. Why is 6 scared of 7? Because 7, 8, 9. And don't you ever fucking forget it. If you want to find out more, check it out at 687.com. I just ruined the joke right there when I did the thing. Anyway, or don't forget to use the special joke listener code DI Plus, and they'll sort it all out and make it into a better sounding URL. I swear. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the 7 free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
You can get all those numbers right, but you can't get our fucking voicemail number right half the time. You call me Chad.
It's like a stupid joke, right? Because, you know, why is 6 scared of 7? Because 7, 8, 9. And then when I go to make up the fake website, I say 6, 8, 9. What? That doesn't even make any sense.
2 by 2.
It should have been 7, 8, 9. And, yeah. So
7, 8, 9.info.
I don't know what it is. It's 7.89.
Oh, I know. I got it. 78.it.
There you go.
78 it.
There you go. .com. I don't even know what I'm trying to say anymore.
I hear .com, I think Expedia. .com.
Every time I hear .com, I think of Tracy Morgan's, one of his entourage in 30 Rock. Anyway, hello, Adam. How are you this evening?
Hi, Daniel. I'm fine. I'm doing very well.
Excellent. You know, before we go a moment.
We have a wonderful chat room. We're streaming live on pride48.com. I would like to welcome tonight Adam 3. Cheap Blue Guitar, Crone, DeAndre, GFN, General of, it's cut off, Mib, yes. Salty in SoCal, yes. Nico, yes. Q-Sledge, R. Conehaven, what? Uh-huh. Toppy Smelly, Adam D.I., Daniel
That's
Brewer,
you.
And
That's
Are
you.
You Coming?
That's me, right. And Churros, who just came into the chat room.
Oh, and we are streaming over at pride48.com.
Dot com. And Nico Martinez has joined us.
I said Nico.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
That's how much you listen to me.
I don't pay attention to it. You know what it is? It's whichever one of us reads that thing, the other one just doesn't listen.
Now, before we get started, I want to read something to everyone. I don't know if this was on the show, but just for the benefit of the chat room people.
Is this sad?
Who heard all the bitching last week.
Is this sad? What kind of music should I play under this while you read something dramatically?
I don't know. It's not whatever you want.
Is it sad? Is it funny? Is it?
It's very short. Okay.
Wait. So it's very short.
It is.
We'll go with that.
We are recording, and I'll be there in about 20 minutes. LOL. That's it. So I want the chat room to know that I messaged you earlier before.
Yes.
Like 40 minutes before time to record to let you know,
yes,
that we were recording and I was going to be here,
yes,
because you were griping last week that you get anxiety.
I did. And
about,
you know, it wasn't 40.
We're gonna record.
It, now, the in fairness, the text came in at 9:56 and we go on at 10:30. So it wasn't 40 minutes before.
Okay, 34 and a half minutes.
Yeah, 36 minutes.
I was watching MasterChef. I was watching them bake cupcakes, I think.
Cupcakes? I thought you said earlier they were making cheesecake.
It was a baking episode. They made cheesecake for the first challenge, and then they made cupcake. Or maybe it was 2 episodes tonight. So
okay,
I might
explain it. What is this show? Because I am unfamiliar with. I watched Top Chef. I watched Top Chef. Desserts.
So
I've seen.
Master
so who is Master Chef? Is
Master
who?
Chef is Gordon Ramsay.
Now, who's Gordon Ramsay?
You know Hell's Kitchen.
No.
You know I sound like
well.
I'm
I mean
yelling.
I've
Do you
eaten
know Hell's
at,
Kitchen.
I've eaten at several restaurants in Hell's Kitchen.
You know who Gordon Ramsay is. You know the British guy, blonde hair, was a soccer player. He's really mean, says fuck all the time. He's a chef, obviously.
that could be like any random British guy. Really.
Hell's Kitchen is the name of the show. They originally had it in England. He also has another one called Kitchen Nightmares.
Oh, okay. I know that guy. Kitchen Nightmares. And, I was going to say, you know what? Yeah, I was, wait, this is a total aside here, but if you ever find yourself in Hell's Kitchen, a really good place to eat is a little Irish restaurant and bar called Gossip. Go eat at Gossip in Hell's Kitchen.
All know. Right, I will. You know what? There's a, he also had, I don't know, they were running with this hell theme, and they gave him a show called Hotel Hell, but okay. I didn't understand why, because he's a chef. Why would a chef? Anyway, there's a picture in the chat room if you want to see who he is. And it's him and some fat guy that I've never heard of, except for this show, a fat chef. And then this other guy who's not even a chef. He's like a restaurateur who yes. tries to be a real dick
but,
all the time.
But does he say it in that cool way? Restaurateur.
I don't know. He doesn't really say that, but he owns a lot
it's
of restaurants.
Like, it's kind of like a person that plays a piano is a pianist.
Right.
They're not a pianist. They're a pianist.
And they have home cooks of a sort. People who aspire to be chefs, but who pretty much.
All right,
are
I've already lost interest. What's the crux of this here? So they do little challenges, just like every other cooking
yeah.
show.
Yeah, and then okay. at the end they announce a master chef, and they win a cookbook deal and a trophy.
Excellent.
And last year a blind chick won.
Okay, so they were making cheesecake. So I only bring this up because the first thing I think I said to you tonight was the entire apartment smells like cheesecake.
And I said that's not on your diet.
No, I understand what I'm saying. Stephen made a cheesecake this evening, which it's debatable as to whether it's a cheesecake or not because it's not in a round pan. It's in a baking dish.
Now, I have a question.
A rectangular baking. Can it still be a cheesecake if it's in a rectangular baking dish?
Was it one of those no-bake travesties?
No. He actually he bought cream cheese and butter and
I hate those no-bake cheesecakes where people like cheat and like mix. I don't even know what you meant. Like Cool Whip and something else, and you spread it on there and you. It's anyway. My question is,
yes.
I've wondered this because I'm doing a low-carb sort of diet, and you also do a low-carb sort of diet.
You are correct.
If I were to make, because my favorite dessert is creme brulee.
Creme brulee.
So
yes.
on a standard low carb diet, you can have yes. as much heavy cream and stuff like and eggs and stuff like that as you want.
Yes.
So I'm wondering, could I stay true to a low carb diet and do a creme brulee made with Splenda, but all the other ingredients the same? Seems like I could.
You could, but you would probably actually it would work to your favor because you would lose more weight as you puked it up because it would bring extra things with it. Splenda is just not a good thing to bake with. Churro is in the chat room. Apparently it is my roommate, Steven, because that is what he made. It's the churro cheesecake. So it smells like cinnamon and cheesecake in the house.
Well, that's not
but,
bad.
But here's the thing. The thing that makes creme brulee is the brulee, right? Otherwise, it's just creme. So and the brulee, of course, is the hard candy-like shell on top of it, which is sugar that has been melted with a blowtorch.
So if there is one thing that I can make,
yes,
it's creme brulee.
Okay, but nah. So here would be my suggestion to you. In the actual custard piece, in the creme piece of creme brulee, you could replace that sugar with something else.
Well, right. I wasn't going to try to caramelize Splenda.
But yeah, you would still want to do because the amount of sugar that you put on top there, which is what, like 2 or 3 tablespoons of sugar. I mean, at most,
less than that.
Then it's irrelevant.
A teaspoon. I don't like to put too much. So we have this grocery store. It's called Fresh Market, and they try to do all this gourmet stuff, and they sell creme brulee. Well, they use a special creme brulee sugar when they do their. And this chick put like I swear she put a cup on there. And she just bruleed it for like no time at all. And I went to eat that thing and it was like crunchy sugar. Like it was like I was eating spoons full of sugar. It was disgusting. You don't want to put too much because you want it to be a thin, crispy sheet.
So Toppy Smelly in the chat room says he used to enjoy Cheesecake Factory in Rochester, New York. By the way, notice how Toppy Smelly likes to always talk about how often he goes to Rochester. Is that a chain? Yes, Cheesecake Factory is a chain. In fact, we had them in Florida. I know they're in Vegas where we have been doing Pride 48 for the last couple of years. There's Cheesecake Factory there. I believe we have a Cheesecake Factory near one of our offices when I was down there in Houston. There was a Cheesecake Factory.
My favorite thing at Cheesecake. Factory
here in Connecticut. Yes.
Is not their cheesecake.
Oh, there's one
it
in Boston.
Is
I went
there, yeah. Their tamale cakes. It's
a tamale cake.
Yeah, it's an appetizer and they take a cornbread type mixture and make like corn cakes out of it, like little patties, like almost like pancakes out of cornmeal. Mm-hmm. And they top it with pico de gallo and avocado sliced up and sour cream. And then they have all these, a couple, two or three different Mexican type sauces. So good. Cilantro, so good.
I'm trying to think if I've ever had the cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. I haven't. Cheesecake Factory is one of those annoying places that has a menu that is like a small book.
If they were on Kitchen Nightmares, the first thing he would do
is rip out all the
like
pages.
Rip out all, but everything's good though.
That's what I was gonna say. It's like on the one hand, you have this book of a menu that you're like sitting there going, "Oh, there's no pot. What's good here?" And then the waitress or waiter always says, "Yeah, everything," and you're like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." But so far, I've never had anything bad at. I mean, I've had some things that weren't like, "Oh my God, this is great," but it wasn't bad. But I've never really had a bad dish at Cheesecake Factory.
The steak Diane's good.
I've never had their cheesecake though.
The cheesecake's good. I'm not a big cheesecake person. But so there is another picture in the chat room. We have photojournalist.
The greetings from nowhere. The general of the Minion Army is just Johnny or Jane on the spot with the photos this evening.
And I will admit that the tamale cakes look a little bit like cakes that someone has vomited on after like an Italian dinner. But they're very good. So good that the last time I was there, this woman was sitting right next to Mark and I, and she leans over and says, "Those are the best things. I get those every time I come here." I don't know why strangers feel the need to talk to us when we go to restaurants, but there you
and
go.
And do they over-enunciate just like that?
I don't know.
"Those are the best things." Was Mittens with you?
He was.
That's what it is. When people see foreigners, when they see people that are not from their country, they over-enunciate and they talk louder and slower. Have you tried the cheesecake? Have you? It's very good. It's very good.
We were at this other restaurant here in town, and this guy didn't over-enunciate because he had a very southern accent. And he was like, he's like, "The sous vide egg is so good. You have to try that," or whatever. I can't do it. And you know what? The sous vide egg tasted like snot.
So and apparently the churro cheesecake that was being... That was made here in the apartment, used two cans of Pillsbury Crescent dinner rolls.
That's interesting.
And then two packages of cream cheese, vanilla, an egg, some sugar, and ground cinnamon.
It sounds like one of those recipes you'd get off the Kraft website. Like, use every Kraft product imaginable to make this this dessert.
Two packages of Kraft real cream cheese.
Right. No,
it doesn't say that. It's just the Pillsbury Crescent.
But I think they make
everyone. Which I always wonder about, what exactly is the difference between a Crescent dinner roll and a croissant? It's like, when you were a kid, didn't they used to have the little Crescent rolls that basically they just rolled up and they look like, and then later in your life, they were called croissants. It's just like.
Well, croissant is how they say it in France.
I know, but I'm just saying
it's
like, seriously.
And a crescent, now, you have to admit, so a croissant, which I don't even say it that way, I say croissant, but anyway, they are very, it's a very tedious and an arduous process to make those. I actually have made those from scratch, and you make this dough, and you roll sheets of butter in between it, and you fold it over, and you have to do that like 8 times and put it in the refrigerator in between each time to get the flakes.
Now, so, you know, Mib, I'm sorry, I gotta just, I'm going to interrupt your story here just to bring, Mib said in the chat room here, said, "How on earth would they know by looking that someone doesn't come from the U.S.? Now, that sounds like, you know, like one of those things of like, you know, we're a big melting pot and we have people from everywhere. However, one of the things we, you know, learn in psychology, I don't like to talk about it, but I do have a degree in psychology, is you literally could take a group of kids from, you know, from England, drop them into America, right, in the midst of a storm. And you would know just by looking, without hearing them say a word, you would know that they were not American.
I would,
just,
yeah.
There's different cultural differences in the way they dress and just different things in the way they carry themselves.
I mean, just look at their teeth.
It's one of the, no, I mean, just saying.
I'm just
that
kidding.
There are little subtle things that are just, that's how you, we are amazing at detecting patterns. That's what we're really good at. We are really, our little brains are really, really good at locking on the patterns. And so it's very easy to observe, just through observation, see that someone is not from here.
So I want to mention something really quick.
Oh, and Molson goes there. You'd already.
I already said it. Was that, right, was
finish,
that
finish your
after?
Finish your thing.
Well, I'm not finishing anything. So that's it. Croissants are very tedious to make. You have to roll out, you make this dough, you roll it out, and you literally have to get butter to the point where it's soft enough to roll out into a flat sheet, but not too soft so that it sticks to the wax paper that you roll it out on. That is a very hard thing to do. And then you have to lay the sheet of butter on top of the dough and then fold the dough over. And in between each of those times, you have to refrigerate it for an hour.
Now, can you put it in beer? Is that what makes butter beer?
Anyway, that's not so. Moving on from cooking, we've talked a lot about food. I wanted to mention that for anyone who was worried, I have made my reservations for Pride 48.
Oh, thank God! I was very worried.
Well, on State of the Station, everyone was, or at least Big Fatty, but he speaks for everyone. I'm assuming he was so worried because I had not made my reservation yet. So I actually made a spreadsheet because you see. If you go onto the Excalibur website right now, they're running 35% off with a food and beverage coupon. But we also have a discount code for Pride 48. So what I did was I made four columns, and one column was each room type with just the Excalibur rate, and one column was each room type with the Excalibur just for 2 days, because I'm leaving on Wednesday. The third column was Pride 48 from Friday through Sunday. And then I had a fourth column that was adding up Excalibur plus Pride 48 prices.
The Excalibur?
Excalibur, yes. So yes. When I got my whole spreadsheet done, I did all my sums and everything. And I found out that if you do 2 days of Excalibur price,
yes,
plus 3 days of Pride 48 price, it is the cheapest deal right now. So if you're doing 5 days, that is, if you do the full 5 days at just the Excalibur rate, it is $40 to $50 more.
Yes.
So I also mm-hmm. found out that plane tickets are fucking expensive right now mm-hmm. to Las mm-hmm. Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I had a post going in on Facebook that had like 80 comments as of earlier this afternoon on my price for flight.
Yes.
So there you go. If anyone wants my spreadsheet, let me know. And you better come on down quick and order those tickets, book that room, because those rates are limited time only.
I wanted to do that to Fatty the other night on the station. He's just like sitting there. There is nothing more exciting in a podcast than just rattling off a bunch of numbers for people to like follow along with while they're driving down the road or, on the bus. Even the chat room, who are sitting there at computers, are bored by this and lost. So, I'm glad. I am delighted that you are going to be going.
Well, that did two things.
I'm delighted that you'll be going to Pride 48. I'm delighted that you'll be staying at the Excalibur, which is the Excalibur, by the way, is the lesser known MGM property. So it's at the other end of the strip. That's why it's so cheap. Is the Excalibur. Excalibur is it's in the old circus building.
The only thing I can say is the Pride 48 rate does not let you do the superior room or the suite.
Okay.
Which we are getting a suite, and apparently for the hospitality suite, apparently we will not be able to use the Pride 48 rate for that suite. Because when you put in the code, it does not give you the suite, the one bedroom suite as an option.
Right. Right.
So,
well, what happens is. So what we did last year was even though we had the presidential suite, they only charged us the regular suite price. So we will work out the same kind of a deal this year. We will pay the full price of a regular suite, but we will get a much larger suite than we would have. So there you go.
I really was tempted to go to the Luxor and try the suite, the pyramid suite.
Yes.
With the slanted walls, because mm-hmm. there's a hot tub of some sort in there. But I know for the past 2 years that the hot tubs in the pyramid suite have not been working because they were having plumbing issues.
Yeah, and they're hotel hot tubs. So they're not like remember the hot tub in the presidential suite, right? So the hot tub in our hospitality suite. That was a full-size hot tub.
Right.
But if you get one of those suites over in the Luxor, they're not full-size hot tubs. They're basically like, they're just large tubs with some jacuzzi jets in them.
And
they're
everyone to know.
They were like the bathtub inside the second bathroom in the suite.
I want everyone to know that I'm going to have to pay like double the price for the Luxor Spa because I'm staying in the Excalibur. But I'm doing that just for you guys. So I'll be in the same, because I know everybody.
Tim will take care of it. We will get
everybody wanted me in the same hotel.
We'll be fine. We did.
Anyway, there you go. So
is Mittens coming?
I don't know. Here's the dilemma. His friends invited him to Las Vegas the weekend before Pride 48, because as it turns out, that is Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
And then I had invited him to go the next weekend with me, and now he feels like if he goes to either one that he will hurt feelings of one or the other. So he's thinking about not joining either so that he's fair to both parties. I don't know. He hasn't decided yet, but the thing is, we're going somewhere for my birthday, probably.
I could see that. I could see where, you know, if my friends invited me to go somewhere and then my boyfriend invited me to go somewhere earlier, how I could not be fair to both parties. It's like, don't you get to trump them in this case? You not only asked him earlier.
I think I would. Here's the deal. I'm not pushing the issue, because what I thought was, will it be less fun having someone there that's not into podcasting? Because I will want to hang out with all my podcasting friends.
See,
and that's
we need to like do some kind of intervention thing or something. Because Robert's getting all pissy that I don't want him to go.
Oh Lord!
And it's just that's exactly what the hot tub looked like in our suite last year. For those of you who don't know, in the chat room they've posted a picture of semi naked boys in a hot tub. Well, actually they're naked boys, but you can only see semi naked pieces of
the top.
So it's been asked in the chat room as to when is Pride 48 this year. Pride 48 is going to be September 6th through the 8th in the lovely and exciting Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Excalibur Resort.
Right. Sorry, it was a slip of the tongue.
No, I like that.
Yes. The jury's still out.
It'll be September 6th through the 8th is our Vegas thing. But what might be throwing you is that we're doing a second Pride 48 event this year. We're going to be doing an actual stay at home and stream from home event coming up in 2 weeks from now? June 21st through the 23rd. So the stream, the Pride 48 stream, will be taken over June 21st from the 23rd, doing a back-to-back podcast. If you are a podcaster and like to participate in that event.
And you're not going to be at the Excalibur.
Or even if you are going to be at the Excalibur, it doesn't matter. It's just if someone's not going to be going to Vegas, we will give them priority as to their slot. You know, which slots are going to get. But otherwise, I mean, there's plenty of room. So if you would like to join us on our Pride 48 weekend, June 21st to the 23rd is absolutely free. It's a great community that you get to interact with. So if you have an interest in doing that, just send an email to daniel@pride48.com. Or I sounded like Wolf Blitzer there.
Unless you suck.
I took a breath in a really weird place there. You can send an email to daniel@pride48.com or Daniel J. Brewer.
If your podcast is sucky.
Right. If your podcast is really sucky, then don't email.
If it's not as good as the best produced podcast ever,
Let's just say that you had a podcast called, I don't know, Live It Up. Let's just say, just for the sake of argument, that it was called something like Live It Up or something like really generic like that. Then don't email me, because it's probably not worth listening to.
Can I make fun? Oh, by the way, Lotzel wants to do it. I don't know if they contacted you, but
they have not, but they do. Yes, I need
Brenda Boo asked on Twitter. Right. And I responded and told her to email you.
Put it on. You have access to the spreadsheet. You and Fatty do. So put it on the spreadsheet.
Anyway, I wanted to say something. Oh, I want to make fun of another podcast really quick.
Did you
know Cocktails and Cream Puffs? I was looking at their website. They have promo photos. They got a photographer to take model photos of them all dressed up, you know, those kind of, you know, whimsical photos. They're like behind bars, you know, it's all like they were posing for GQ or some gay magazine or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, who do they think they are, really? It's like, come on. I mean, I like their show. But come on, you know how they're off-Broadway acts? They're off podcasting, is what we call
it. Well, they're not off-Broadway. They're where are they? Buffalo?
I mean, this is the number one gay podcast with a non-lesbian female from Buffalo, New York, who podcast on Monday evenings, who, by the way, have a big old fucking logo for Rainbow Pod Squad, but not a single graphic for Pride 48 on their entire website.
So I'm here on the website, buffalo.com, which lists a whole bunch of different podcasts that are from Buffalo, and they're not listed there. So I don't know. The Queen City Experience is listed here.
Anyway, anyone...
The late Nick Mendola is listed here.
I don't think they like that, Mike. I shouldn't say that.
Craft Beer Talk is listed here.
Now, for any of you who are Cocktails and Cream Puffs fans...
Have you ever listened to the Craft Beer Talk from Buffalo?
I have not.
It seems like it'd be here. Let's just take a listen to it. I'm sure it's got to be great. It's you know what could go wrong with this.
Well, I'm a little rusty, so it reminds me.
I'm a little rustic.
Oh, you made a joke about Rusty. That's
not nearly as good as.
Hey
as
guys, it's been a
7, 8, 9.
I guess you could call us Rip Van Drinkles. Craft Beer Talk. I'm Nick Mandola, along with Ethan Cox and Chris Groves.
Ooh, his name is, yes, his
is
name
from
is Cox,
Community
yes.
Beer Works.
Mm-hmm. True that.
We are people drinking beer, and it's been a while. This is the start of season trois.
Trois.
That's
what you say if anything French is involved.
I bet they say croissant.
Something.
They probably do. They probably. It's season trois, which we are starting with a nice pilsner and a croissant.
So,
that's not as bad as I thought it would be. That actually sounds like something I'm going to bookmark.
For all the Cocktails and Cream Puffs fans out there, I only make fun of them because for the most part, Joey can take a joke.
Wait, Joey Boohecker?
Well, maybe for me. Maybe I piss him off all the time, but he has never.
Are we talking about the same Joey Boohecker?
Well, he got in the hot tub with me last year. He must like me.
That's probably what it is.
I figure if I get in the hot tub with somebody, I have every right to poke fun.
you're going to poke them in the hot tub is basically what you're
anyway,
saying.
Anyway, Cocktails and Cream Puffs, opening for Jay Leno soon. That's all I'm
opening
saying.
Why are they opening for Jay Leno?
I don't know. They're the premier comedy podcast of Buffalo, New York.
That stars a
non-lesbian female.
Lesbian female, right. That's not the right one. Why do I do this all the time? Is you have to go to the goat clip instead of the sheep clip. I keep going to the goat clip I keep going to the sheep clip instead of the goat because the goat clip is the better clip. See, so the, let's see here. See that this, it does this. See, it's more of a mixed.
There it goes. Yeah, that one.
It's never not funny. It's just never not funny. That's all there is to it.
Well, anyway, so Joey, I love you. You're apparently not in the live. You're not listening live tonight.
No, well, either that or he's pissed off and he's heading into your house.
I love
now.
Your show.
Yeah,
and I hope you guys make it big.
To the
when you do
podcast,
I will. When you do, please hire me to be on your show. I'd love it.
So what was your whole complaint about? Just the fact that they take pictures?
I just think it's funny that they have promo photos.
But, I mean, honestly, I think probably the only reason that we don't have more photos of us is because we live in different states. We're never together.
But those Daniel.
They're all there.
There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, how many podcasts do you know that, like, go to a photographer and, like, get headshots done? You don't.
Every single podcast that I know of that stars Joey Boohecker.
Well, there you go.
Uses a photographer.
I mean, I know they're in the theater and they know artsy photographery people. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I'm just giving them a hard time. Moving along.
Wow, what the fuck?
Do
we
have a quiz?
We do. Well, we do and we don't. So I didn't email our next quiz.
Oh, great.
Our next quiz.
Imagine
testant.
That.
Our next quiz testant is. I got to find it here. I want to say it's Brian, but let's see. Not Brian from Cheap Blue Guitar. It's Brian, another Brian. I've updated my Gmail, and so now I have to go and find my starred. There, starred. So our next, Brian. Yes. So Brian is our next contestant. And I didn't email him because you wanted me to make sure that I had a way of bringing in the audio without... you know, messing up your audio, and I haven't done that yet, and because I've been busy this week. So I will email Brian right this very moment and say, hey, are you available next week? So here we go. I'm saying, are you available next
week? Is that the Brian that's in the chat room right now?
No.
Okay.
At 10:30 p.m. EDT. All right. I'm sending it to him, and we will wait anxiously for his reply. So there you go.
Actually, I had myself muted, and that sounded weird. Damn it, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, it'll be like 10:45-ish because opening chatter.
I know, but I was just... So we don't have a quiz, which is a shame because I had a really great quiz lined up. Are you good with dogs? Because I can give you the quiz instead. Are you good with dogs?
It depends.
I'm
a dog lover.
I can describe eight movies that feature dogs, and I want you to tell me what the movies are.
Oh, I might suck at this because I'm not good at movies, but
Here, just banter with the chat room real quick. Let me go grab my tablet. So.
Banter with the chat room. So anyway, I hope you guys don't think that I was too hard on Mr. Joey L. Buchecker III, or Buchecker, as I like to say. I do like, though, on the website, it mentions The Adam and Maddie Show as one of his, his inspirations for doing Cocktails and Cream Puffs. So I feel vindicated somewhat, you know, that he has moi on his website. That's all. I'm not good at bantering when there's a... So GFN GMA says, I'm sure Adam will be hearing from Joey. It's hard to banter with the chat room when there's like a 7-second delay. So there's nobody talking back.
All right. Well, I've decided to grab me a nice bottle of Buffalo Gold Golden Ale, which Stephen brought back from his trip to Colorado.
I can't remember.
Oh, fuck. I can't. This is not a twist off cap.
I can't remember what that podcast would have said about the Pilsner, the one we just listened to.
Maybe they can tell me how to open a beer.
This is my trois beer of the evening.
You don't know how to open the damn beer.
Is it troisson? How would you say third?
Third is three is trois, so it'd be like twad.
I said troisson. This is my troisson pilsner of the evening with the croissant. I don't know. I'm sure somebody knows. How do you say third?
I have not had
French?
A single beer this evening. I was going to try this. Oh, look.
Oh, look. Oh, my God. Look.
Stephen has brought a beer opener.
He
Thank
mentions
you very much.
On the stream that he has no beer opener, and some hot Twinkie boy comes in with a, like, naked, with like, only a fig leaf on his privates, and he's fanning Daniel right now as he opens his beer bottle.
He's not even in the room. He dropped it off.
This is theater of the mind.
Oh, I see.
Nobody's watching the video.
Right. Daniel, do I brew my own? No, I don't, but I was going to. I was going to make some ginger beer this week because we've got people coming over Friday night and they like Moscow mules. And I found a recipe on how to make ginger beer. But it needs to, with yeast and stuff, it needs to happen.
No.
It needs to cook for 48 hours, and they're going to be here Friday, so I don't have enough time to do it. So
when you say ginger beer, it makes me think of redheads. But let me share something with the audience about Daniel J. Brewer V. Daniel is an idea man.
I am.
And then he doesn't necessarily have a lot of follow through.
Right.
So he's probably had the idea to make a ginger beer for like years and never done it.
That's not true.
So, you know, there you go.
That's not true. I have, so Kevin, you know, Brian and Kevin from Danbury, Kevin has a Moscow Mule mug, and somebody at work is really into the Moscow Mules, and that deals with ginger, it's ginger beer and vodka and lime. And so I was Googling how to make a Moscow Mule. And they were just like, you should make your own ginger beer. And I was just like, well, I don't know how to make ginger. And then I looked it up, and it's really easy to do. It's basically you juice, you know, you get some ginger juice, which you get with either a juicer or by shredding the ginger and getting the juice out of it. And then you add some yeast to it and, you know, bottle it up real tight. And then, whatever. And you let it sit for 2 days.
I'm not a fan of beer or ginger. And I tried to make, sourdough bread starter one time.
Oh, by the way, the Buffalo Gold is delicious.
And, you know, sourdough bread is supposed to, what you're supposed to do is you mix, God, I'm not going to remember, but like you mix flour and a little bit of water and some sugar, something, and it's supposed to,
yes.
It's supposed to go bad.
Somebody just asked in the chat room if I said ginger juice. Yes, I said ginger juice.
I can't, you know, that might have been a good title, except I've already used juice before in the title,
that's
so
true.
I can't do
and
that.
Then people
ginger
will think that
juice
we're,
would have been...
People will think, as I heard this the other day, I swear to God, people will think we're anti-Semitic. Anyway, let's go now with our quiz. Are you ready, Adam?
I'm ready.
Questions.
No whammies, no whammies.
Chat room, you can play along here if you would like to. This 2008 release, based on a best-selling novel, is the story of a crazy, lovable golden retriever known to many as the worst dog in the world.
A golden retriever? Huh? In 2008?
Yes, this 2008 release, based on a best-selling novel, is the story of a crazy, lovable golden retriever known to many as the world's worst dog. The chat room said Air Bud. That is not correct.
I have no idea. Old Yeller.
Oh, no, Stephen has it right in the chat room. It is Marley and Me.
Oh, well.
All right. All right. Number two.
He
in
dies
this
at
movie.
The end. Spoiler.
In this movie, two dogs and a cat journey across America and experience all sorts of adventures on their way.
Milo and Otis? No, that would only be two animals, wouldn't it? There are a lot of those, two dogs and a cat. Is it the one with Sally Field playing the cat?
I don't know. This is like, I swear to God, this is like the start of every bad joke. Two dogs and a cat walk into a bar.
It's
Thelma and Louise. Again, Stephen has it correct. It is Homeward Bound. I swear he's not here looking
for Stephen,
my
show. If Stephen was as good at his computer quizzes as he is at his dog movie quizzes. Right. Okay, Stephen, was Sally Field the voice of the cat in Homeward Bound? That's what I want to know. We don't have to wait. You can keep going, Daniel.
Toppy Smelly is saying that people are getting this audio way before you. Toppy, refresh your stream and see if that will...
Toppy, where do you live? Are you in Rochester?
He lives in Rochester. Rochester, redo the stream. He won't hear that for like another 30 seconds. All right, here we go. Question number three. One lone strand of shared spaghetti made this animated
Lady
tale of
and
two dogs... Can I finish? Made this animated tale of two dogs from opposite sides of the tracks an instant classic. So yes, you were correct.
Lady and the Tramp and
Lady and the Tramp.
Sally Field was the voice. She's
Sally,
also
of the Tramp or Lady
in Homeward Bound, and she is in Brothers and Sisters, which is very good. And I hate it that it ended. So there you go.
There you go. Question number four, the midway point here. Not your average buddy cop film. This movie stars a messy mastiff as one half of the disparate duo.
Turner and Hooch.
You are correct, sir. Ding, ding, ding. Turner and Hooch. Is the-
and it has, what's that guy's name? He's a good actor. He was in the movie where he was stuck on an island and he painted a basketball that was deflated to look like a face. Maybe it was a volleyball.
That's called Castaway. The film. Castaway.
And he was in a movie
Spalding.
Where
it was a Spalding volleyball.
He lived in an airport in another movie.
No, it was a Wilson because he called it Wilson. That was his name.
Tom Hanks. He's in the movie Big as well.
Yes. In number
Money
five
Pit.
In
Money Pit.
Yes.
Very good.
In 2011, which prequel? This is important now. Which prequel featured a frisky feline who had to clear his name and prove to the world that he was worthy of his trademark leather boots?
Well, okay. I know it's Puss in Boots.
Well, there you go.
But aren't there two? I don't know. Anyway, Puss in Boots.
Correct. Right. Or Eating Puss. I've heard it both ways.
And actually,
or that Darn Cat, which is a great Disney film.
That was a very boring movie, in my opinion.
Right. Inspired by a true story from Japan. This 2009 movie is about loyalty and the rare relationship between a man and his faithful companion.
Can you read that again?
Jesus Christ. All right, this sucks. I'm reading this from the Entertainment Weekly magazine, which I have on my tablet.
Okay.
And they wrote the answers upside down on the bottom. Every time I try to turn it over to read the answers.
Turn the auto-rotate off.
It auto-rotates.
Turn the auto-rotate off.
All right, here we go. Once again, inspired by a true story from Japan, this 2009 movie is about loyalty and the rare relationship between a man and his faithful companion.
That is so generic. Like, every dog and man movie are about a loyal relationship between a dog and his man. Or a man and his dog. No clue.
Anyone?
Japan?
Steven's got it again.
I thought they eat dogs in Japan.
No,
what?
That's Korea. No, Steven's got it again.
Hachi, a dog's tale. I have never heard of that.
Let's see. I think we have the actual...
Not only is he a good companion, but with a little teriyaki sauce.
We have the trailer for it. Let's listen to the trailer here for it.
No, I thought you were going to play the Whitney Houston clip.
In a world where a dog is owned by a Japanese Richard Gere. It's got Richard Gere in it. I don't know. It's sad.
That makes me think of that story of the dog who would go and meet his master at the train station every day, and the guy died, and the dog for like 10 years later kept going back to the train station. Remember that news story I read?
Sure. And I called shenanigans on it. Set number seven. This is the penultimate question here. You only have two questions left here. Set in the 1940s, this coming-of-age story details a Mississippi boy's life that will never be the same after he receives a Jack Russell for his birthday.
Home Alone 2.
Is that really your answer?
No, I don't know. I don't know. A Jack Russell Terrier.
A Jack Russell. Think about it.
No, nothing.
It's Steven? A coming of age story that details a Mississippi's boy's life that will never be the same after he receives a Jack Russell for his birthday.
Dennis the Menace.
Dennis.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't even think the chat room knows.
Yeah, here, I'll play the trailer for it. How about that? Can I play the trailer? 34 seconds. Here we go.
The dog is a big responsibility.
He's not a baby. He keeps the dog, okay?
It's got Kevin
William
Bacon.
Morris's classic tale comes to life. The true story of a remarkable dog.
Go get him, Skip!
Get that kid!
Who changed the lives of everyone around him.
We won, Skip! We scored a touchdown!
Hey, look at that dog.
Skip?
The Warner Brothers Family Entertainment. My Dog Skip.
There you go. It had Kevin Bacon in it.
My Dog Skip?
Yes, it was my very nice that you heard the title.
Hey, Daniel, is it My Dog Skip?
Let's go to the judges to get a ruling on that. It's never not funny. All right, the final question here. Final question in our little dog quiz here. This 1957 classic. Do I really need to go any further than that? This 1957 classic is a tale of friendship and courage and features one of Hollywood's greatest and most moving canine moments.
I don't know. 1957 doesn't tell me much, but was it Lassie?
No, it wasn't Lassie.
Is it? Oh, God. What? Benji.
Look at the chat room. Everyone in the chat room has gotten it. Yes, it's Old Yeller.
You know, the most famous dog movie that even had sequels and everything was Benji.
Well, it's kind of hard to have a sequel for Old Yeller.
Well, you never know.
Although, you know, with the resurgent of zombie movies lately, perhaps we could have an Old Yeller too. That
there's already been a zombie movie, a dog movie. Frankenweenie?
All right, excellent. There you go. That was our dog quiz this evening. Thank you very much. Give yourself a round of applause for doing that one there. So excellent. We have no tech stories. So are you going to talk about the new intern or
no? Nothing. We got
Play the news.
Oh well, while I'm pulling that up, we got a new intern and he's way overexcited. And I've never had an intern before, so it's just going to be interesting.
News.
All right. A former Microsoft executive plans to create the first U.S. national marijuana brand. With
is he their CIO that just quit the other day or? Move on.
I don't think so. With cannabis, he hopes to eventually import legally from Mexico. He had said he was kicking off his business by acquiring medical pot dispensaries in 3 U.S. states. James Shively, a former Microsoft corporate strategy manager, said he envisions his Seattle-based enterprise becoming the leader in both recreational and medical cannabis. Much like Starbucks is the dominant name in coffee, he said.
Yes. Microsoft is going to be the dominant name in pot.
Shively, 45, whose 6 years at Microsoft ended in 2009, said he was soliciting investors for $10 million in startup money. The use, sale, and possession of marijuana remains illegal in the United States under federal law. 2 U.S. states have, however, legalized recreational marijuana use and are among 18 states that allow it for medical use.
Excellent. So Microsoft, the synonymous with, what the, someone just like wrecked outside of our house.
I heard that. So, it's really confusing. I don't have any desire to smoke marijuana, but it's legal in a couple of states, but illegal federally. So does that mean if an FBI agent sees you doing it, they could like haul you off? But if you did it in front of just like a local police officer, that's really confusing. Something should be able to be legal in the state. It's like it's illegal and legal at the same time.
Right. That kind of sounds like that's their new thing, right? So it'd be this. It would be like pot. Microsoft. Microsoft pot. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
A Spanish town has come up with an ingenious way to keep its streets clean of dog mess.
Ingenious! They've cleaned them!
So, the Council of Brunet, a small town some 20 miles west of Madrid, launched the campaign to crack down on irresponsible dog owners. During the course of a week, a team of 20 volunteers patrolled the town streets on the lookout for dog owners who failed to scoop. They then approached the guilty owner and struck up a casual conversation to discover the name of the dog.
So, casually speaking, what is your dog's name?
With the name of the dog and
Wait, I didn't do that right. Where was this at? This is in,
It's in Spain.
Hold on just a second.
Google. Where is Spain?
No, that joke didn't play out very well, but this might.
Así que, casualmente hablando, ¿cuál es el nombre de su perro?
Excellent.
So,
They walk up to him and they walk up to him and they go,
Así que, casualmente hablando, ¿cuál es el nombre de su perro?
Uh-huh. And then they say,
With the name of the dog and the breed, it was possible to identify the owner from the registered pet database held in the town hall, explained a spokesman from the council. The volunteers then scooped up the excrement and packaged it in a box branded with the town hall insignia and marked lost property and delivered by courier to the pet owner's home.
And then they say,
Su perro se ha registrado y su mierda ahora encarcelado.
Excellent.
The campaign, developed for free by advertising agency McCann, won the Sol de Plata award at last week's Ibero-American Advertising Festival. So in all 147 express poop deliveries were made during the course of the week in February, and the town with 10,000 residents has since reported a 70% drop in the amount of dog mess found on its streets.
Adam no sabe hablar español.
And another story, a woman.
I can do that. A woman asked for sex in exchange for chicken McNuggets. Sorry, here we go.
Una mujer pidió sexo a cambio de chicken McNuggets.
Excellent.
All right, lastly, mothers looking to give their children a unique yet familiar candy treat are in luck.
Oh, they are. Are they?
A lollipop company based in Austin, Texas, called Lollifile, is offering new breast milk lollipops.
Oh, dear God.
Meant to mimic the flavor of a mother's milk. According to Lollifile's website, numerous mothers shared their breast milk with the company's flavor specialists until they were able to turn the flavor into a candy. Quote, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older, but it seems like all of my friends are having babies these days, Jason Darling, the owner of Lollifile, said in a statement. Sure, the kids are all crazy cute, but what slowly dawned on me was that my friends were actually producing milk so delicious it could turn a screaming, furious child into a docile, contented one. I knew I had to capture that flavor.
Oh, dear God.
Lollifile maintains that the lollipops do not contain any actual breast milk, joking that it would require armies of pumping women. Other eccentric lollipops available from Lollifile include absinthe lollipops and chocolate bacon lollipops.
Now, the bacon lollipops I can go for here. I'm just kind of wondering if this is kind of like the Jelly Bellies when they made the Harry Potter flavors, you know, the ones that were like grass and whatever, and they made a booger-flavored one. I mean, is this really the same thing? Because when you think about it, isn't that kind of the same thing? Yeah, I produce this thing, this mucus thing that I can eat, and it's called booger. Oh, yeah. No actual boogers are used. I just made it to
no
taste exactly like a booger.
Harmed in the making of this lollipop. Well, no, the flavor, the quote-unquote flavor specialist had to taste breast milk. Over and over and over again. So, I mean, can you imagine going home, you know, from work and your wife or your husband or, you know, depending on your sexual preference says, So, how was your day, honey? Well, I had to taste breast milk all day long. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Excuse me, anyone seen Sigmund around? Who is Sigmund? Like the sea monster? Like, shello?
So, anyway, that there's the news.
Oh, excellent. And I'm sorry, I was responding to something in the chat room that you at home listening have no idea what it was. Someone was asking if they've seen Sigmund. It doesn't really matter.
How professional of you.
I need another beer. Can you just Daniel. Like vamp for just like 30 seconds? Put 30 seconds up on the big clock and just 30 seconds. Go.
So here in the, speaking of the chat room, we have a picture of, you know what I'll do to vamp? I have another story. So Taco Bell is firing a California employee who was photographed licking a stack of taco shells. The shot was made in March at a Taco Bell in Ridgecrest, 100 miles north of Los Angeles. Taco Bell Productions says the shells were provided for workers to practice making its new Cool Ranch tacos and were thrown out without being sold. Sure, Taco Bell, sure. The Irvine-based company says the photograph was taken for a contest showing employees enjoying their first bite of the product. It wasn't submitted, but the worker posted it to a Facebook page, which violates the company policy.
I am back.
Taco Bell says the worker also violated food handling procedures.
Are you trying to read like a bonus story here?
Yes, I read a bonus story. The company says the liquor has been suspended and will be fired while the photographer no longer works at the restaurant.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm done. So, yes, I'm enjoying a lovely, this is also from Colorado that Stephen brought back. This is a Colorado, how do you pronounce the O with the little eyes above it, the little dots above
The umlaut?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's K-U-L-S-C-H. Kulsch.
Kulsch. Oh, it's Kulsch. Kulsch.
German. It's a German-style ale.
And we have now a picture posted of the taco shell liquor.
Excellent. Taco shell liquor. Look at them there. Look at them go. Oh, did I say that? Lick at them go.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta.
Yeah!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Excellent. It's happy birthday. Yes, Adam, who is our first birthday this week? Isn't it like this every week? Okay, this is the theme to Leave It to Beaver. And it feels like every single week we have someone from the Beaver Show that is having his birthday. So let's just run down the list, shall we? Is it Tony Dow?
It is not.
Is it Jerry Mathers?
It is.
It's Jerry.
And
it's the Beaver.
Jerry Mather as the Beaver. Yeah.
Is Tony Dow not in the show? I'm being questioned.
June Lockhart,
now.
Tony Dow, somebody else, the dad, and
Barbara
Jerry?
Billingsley, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah, Barbara Billingsley. Oh, no. So June Lockhart's in something else.
Leave It to Beaver cast here. Let me get to the. So far, Barbara Billingsley, Jerry Mathers, Tony Dow, Frank Bank, Hugh Beaumont, and Ken Osmond. Excellent. Go ahead. What's the next one?
All right. Give me one moment to cue this up.
Do you remember the new Leave It to Beaver, which aired from 1983 to 89?
I don't think that I ever watched it.
I'm just saying,
but
that was 6 years that thing aired. We can't find that on Netflix or anything. Why am I not, that was like, I would have graduated high school around in those years. Why did I not know anything about this?
Don't you hate those commercials on YouTube that won't let you skip?
Oh, Netflix is currently experiencing a technical issue.
They're like 30 seconds long and they won't let you skip.
Yeah, that sucks.
All right, here we go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Good.
This is the star of the MTV show Jersey Whore. Whoops, had a little bit of a Satan twister. I'm sorry. I mean Jersey Shore. Please welcome Nicole Polizza.
Is it Nicole Polizza?
What?
Is it Nicole Polizza?
No, listen one more time. I turned it up a little bit, so I don't want to play too much because the name might be mentioned.
Our next guest is the star of the MTV show Jersey Whore. Whoops, had a little bit of a Satan twister. I'm sorry. I mean Jersey Shore. Please welcome Nicole Polizza.
Now, this sounds like someone doing the church lady, but the Jersey Shore wasn't around the same time as the church lady was.
You should probably go with what you're thinking.
All right, so this is Dana Carvey?
It is Dana Carvey.
Excellent. So Dana Carvey, who's got to be like 72, 73 or something.
Dana Carvey isn't that special. Dana Carvey is 58 years old. And in fact, that was a he was on Saturday Night Live and brought back the church lady.
Oh,
recently.
Got it.
Did a special like church lady rehash sort of thing.
Got it. Yeah, because that was really like that. Honestly, when you get right down to it, that was like his only thing that he was.
Loved that.
But I mean, I'm just saying he really wasn't. Dana Carvey was kind of like, at the time, everyone thought Dana Carvey was the guy. But really, when you got down to it, it was Mike Myers that was the guy. It was Dana Carvey that was kind of like just the Klingon there, the latcher on. Anyway, go ahead. No,
sorry. All right, here's this next one.
What I'm trying to say is Dana Carvey was the interviewer of Charles.
The most satisfying thing about this image is the fact that you are probably reading this in Morgan Freeman.
I'm Morgan Freeman. That's why I would have known that was Morgan Freeman.
It's amazing, this phenomenon. Just by simply seeing a picture of someone, your brain.
And you know what? That is not Morgan Freeman. Mm-hmm. That is a comedian who does a impression or an impersonation of Morgan Freeman.
But what I'm trying to say is it's Morgan Freeman's birthday.
But it is Morgan Freeman. I just couldn't. I know we've done it before, but I just couldn't. Because Morgan Freeman is a pillar, an iconoclastic pillar.
Wait, hold on. I am now being chastised to watch it. I don't know if I'm supposed to watch it that Dana Carvey was a Klingon or watch it that that I made a Vera Charles joke there. Because all I was trying to say was, you know, Big Fatty has more talent in his little pinky than Vera Charles does in her entire vodka gimlet. That's all I'm trying to say.
So, let me see. I lost my place.
And I would reverse that statement in a second if Vera actually played clips at the beginning of her show.
So Morgan Freeman is 76 years old.
70. This is what started the whole Morgan Freeman joke last year was the I'm Morgan Freeman.
I think what started the whole Morgan Freeman joke was
Morgan Fairchild.
Morgan Fairchild, and you said
had a birthday similar, close to it.
Yes.
Go ahead. Look, the Greetings from Nowhere has posted a picture of Nelson Mandela in the chat room. Please go ahead. I'm sorry. That's one piece. One person will laugh at that joke.
No. How come? Okay. Seriously? YouTube is making me use my real name.
Yes.
I changed it to not use my real name. And now, like the third video that I watch, it's popping up this thing that won't let me do anything else saying, are you sure you don't want to change to your real name? And it doesn't give you a way to say no.
This is fascinating.
Anyway, here we go. Maybe.
All right, this is the theme to Deep Space Nine.
Yes, you would be correct on that. Now, I'm going to play one more theme for you in just a second.
Oh, good night, DeAndre.
Because I have to pull it up. All right, here we go. Unless there's a commercial.
Is this soap?
No. Around the same time, though.
This is Benson.
It is Benson, yes.
Ah, excellent. So, there you go. Someone just posted it in the chat room. I knew his name. I just cannot pronounce it. So it's the guy that played Odo, basically.
And it is Odo. It's Odo's birthday. And his name is Rene Auberginois.
Yeah, I can't.
And
say
it. He is.
Here's another funny little thing to say. He was the voice of the chef in Little Mermaid. The chef that was trying to cook Sebastian, that got Sebastian up on there. Rene did the voice of that chef.
Is he the one that goes hee 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 ho 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 or whatever?
No, it was like a real tiny little bit part. So.
Oh, I thought there was a song when he's trying to cook. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Could be a different one. So there are your birthdays.
Oh, we're done. You're supposed to like warn me ahead of that time. Look,
hey, Daniel,
Auntie Vera Charles.
That was
Auntie
the last
Vera Charles
one.
Has joined us in the chat room. Why, hello, Auntie Vera Charles. She's been there the whole time. But anyway, she's changed her name. She's come out from behind the curtain. So there you go. Those
the closet,
are our birthdays.
So to speak.
She's coming out of the closet. There you go.
Great job. Thank you so much for helping me sing my way to La Fiesta. I couldn't have done it without you. See you soon.
Bye, Dora.
Happy birthday to you,
Lorna.
Happy birthday to you,
Lorna.
Happy birthday
Excellent.
Remind me not to turn you up.
Why?
You said excellent is like my ears bleeding now because I turned up the wrong channel.
You know, our chat room is just filled with celebrities right now. We have Brian from Cheap Blue Guitar. We have Auntie Vera Charles. We have Conscience.
Okay, how are Auntie Vera Charles and Conscience in the chat room at the same time?
Clearly, Vera got a new phone, threw away her old one, and Conscience got it, and he's hiding in the other room.
Okay.
Excellent.
So you should have the contact.
Oh, I do, don't I? Oh, this is mine, isn't it? I'm sitting there looking at you as if you're supposed to do something. You know, we have a bunch of voicemails here, Adam. Let's just go through them, shall we? Starting with our good...
I produce and do all the work, and I
click on the buttons. All right, yes. Here we go. Our very good friend, Sater from the Sater Sphere podcast. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Hey there, guys. This is Scott, a.k.a. Sater69 on the Twitter, host of the Sater Sphere podcast.
Yes.
I'm just calling to... Okay, first of all, I love the fact that you speed up your podcast ever so slightly, because I totally am expecting that in Vegas when I see you all, that you'll be talking like this.
We do.
When I actually talk to you.
We do. That's what we do. Yeah.
I've already talked to you all both in person, but yeah, I thought the joke was good. I'm really calling because Adam. Judy Kuhn is a Broadway goddess. I've seen her 3 times in shows.
I'm sorry, who? Who is a Broadway
Judy
goddess?
Judy Kuhn. She was a birthday.
Oh, okay.
Probably 2 weeks ago. She's the voice of Pocahontas.
Oh.
Don't you remember?
You think you have enough words in this song now.
Something like that,
I can read an entire definition of the word. I can sing an encyclopedia to everything that could possibly be for the next note. I'm sorry. Anyway.
You'll sound like the Micro Machine Man when
I... album on Kickstarter. How dare you not know who she is? Oh, you make my heart break, Adam. You really do. Judy Kuhn is a goddess. I love her. And I am so very gay right now. So, yeah, Judy Kuhn. Oh, I saw her in Chess. Oh, she was so good in Metropolis, the musical based on the silent film. Overblown, written by the guy who wrote the song "You Light Up My Life." Overblown show had some good songs in it though, but I really loved it.
All right, hold on just a second, Vera. Since you're in the chat room, since we have a celebrity in the chat room here, what is the name of the artist that does that Pocahontas spoof that you played at the beginning of your show like 3 years ago? It had to have been like Forbidden Broadway or something. That it was just the most god awful out of tune Pocahontas similar like song it made me laugh a lot. And if you know the name of that person or that artist, all right, he's looking for it. Let's continue with the phone call now. If we can find it, we're going to play it. But if not, let's move on with the phone call.
Oh, she's wonderful. I love her. I'm Vegas. And then, yeah. Daniel, hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? You know, I don't think you hate me.
I don't.
It's just a little thing I play that I think everyone hates me and hates my show because nobody ever calls my show like I call everyone else's show.
We have called your show, so.
I'm not bitter. No, not at all. Okay, that's it. Y'all have a wonderful day. I cannot wait until September. This is a Sater. Catch you later. Bye-bye.
We do call shows. Here's my problem with that, and this is the God honest truth, is I listen to podcasts when I'm commuting, and I don't like the way my cell phone sounds, and so I think to myself, I'll record a voicemail to send to them later, and then I... forget. And so it's just kind of like, I need to be better at that. Also, it's one of those things that since Adam Arn and I aren't in the same place, you know, I have to kind of make my own, you know, I can't like make a call. We have to remember to do it on Wednesday night if we're going to do it together.
Right.
Right. All right. So you ready? You want to hear this song?
Sure.
All right. So this is the song. You can go back to episode, you know, something, something, something of Vera Speaks and hear this at the beginning. Or you can just listen to it right now, which it was hilarious. Let me find it here. This video is no longer available. I think I have to do this right here. Let's see what we got.
Think you own whatever land you land on. The earth is just a dead thing you can climb. rock and tree and creature has a life, has a spirit, has a name. You think the only people who are people, no, are the people who look and think like you. But if you walk the footsteps of a stranger, you learn things you never knew, you never knew. Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon? Or else the grinning bark at Corey he grinned? Can you sing with all the voices of the mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Can you paint with all the colors?
So at this point, you're thinking, okay, well, you know, it's like a Broadway person that's just like a little bit off or whatever.
Right? GFN says, sounds like Katherine Hepburn in Bette Midler's Child.
In Vegas, I want to do this in karaoke.
It's the opening skit. Even going to sound better sped up by 4.176.
I had a mouthful of beer when I almost sprayed it all over the camera. You would have seen it. It would have been great. Anyway, excellent. Thank you very much, Vera.
Thank you for calling.
That's right. Thank you for calling, Seda. And thank you, Vera Charles, for sharing that with us.
Long-time listener. Speaking of
internet celebrities, let's listen to our next phone call, shall we?
Well, hello, boys. Oh, goodness. I was listening to one of your episodes, and Adam, darling, I did not realize we had stuff in common.
Yeah, like...
I did not know that you love to listen to fantasy audiobooks. That's fantastic. I am the queen of an audiobook. I love an audiobook. Oh, God. Any type of fantasy series. Ooh, have you listened to the Harry Potter series? Oh, best series from audiobook. That... The Sookie Spikehouse series, ooh girl, I just read listened to the entire Wheel of Time series. Oh god, it was so good.
What?
What's the name of the book you're listening to? I'm always looking for a new book to listen to, because my job is monotonous, girl.
All right, what is the name of the fantasy audiobook that you were listening to?
I thought Donna Sugars lost her job.
That's why it's so monotonous. Basically, you know, she just sleeps all day long and
Donna,
drinks and...
Donna, honey, can you mail me my green screen? Darling.
Oh, you gotta get that in there. By the way, did we mention that this was Donna Sugars? Because she just says, like, oh, hello, boys, and just kept going. As if she just knew. It just knew that people would just
she
know
didn't even
that
say,
that was Donna Sugars.
Right. This is Donna Sugars.
Donna Sugars. On apparently the crappiest phone ever made. But go ahead.
So the book that I am reading is the second book in a series.
You know, you can always tell us a good book if it's the second book in a series.
So the first book is called The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss.
Yes.
And very good book. Very good book. If you like fantasy, the one that I'm currently reading is The Wise Man's Fear, King Killer Chronicles, Day 2.
The Wise Man's Fear.
Yes. And it's by, they're both by Patrick Rothfuss, obviously, because it's a series. Very good. So if you like fantasy books, you should definitely try it. You know, and I like to listen to audiobooks, but I have one problem.
What?
It's that they're not active enough. If I'm listening to them in the car, I listen to podcasts while I work, but I can't listen to audiobooks while I work because if I zone into my work really, like I'm really focusing on work, then I miss whole chapters and I have no idea what happened. Whereas with podcasts, you know, people are just yapping like we are. I mean, if I miss something, oh well.
Right.
But, and so I can only really do it in the car or at the gym. If I do it at night before bed, I fall asleep. So it's, I guess because I'm old, but it's a lot less dangerous. I tried to read with my iPad one time and I dropped it on my nose when I fell asleep. And my nose was sore for like three days.
Trying to listen to the Game of Thrones and I it's been taking me forever because the guy puts me to sleep when he reads.
Oh.
Anyway, we're not done with the.
And Donna, I love The Wheel of Time. Yes. But I would never listen to it. I would always savor every last word in a book.
See, I read all the Harry Potters, but then I went back and listened to them all because Jim Davis was just amazing. He just did an amazing voice actor.
Put a drill to my head, I could still work. It's terrible. Oh, sometimes you just need something to listen to in your ear hole. Okay, love the show, guys. Kisses.
Kisses. Mwah. Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
See, I didn't think that Donna listened anymore because he hasn't called in like a year.
I know.
Or something. I don't know what's up with that, but thanks for the call.
I was trying to Whitney roll the chat room because I posted a link and said, this is the Colors of the Wind link, and it's actually the Whitney Houston goat link because I was trying to like Whitney roll them, you know, kind of like roll them. I mean, kind of like, you know, Rick roll them, whatever. Anyway, I don't know what I'm trying to say anymore. All right, here we go. Our final phone call this evening comes from the one and only, aren't we supposed to have a theme song for her made up? And
that was you.
I don't know how to do this.
You're looking behind you like a theme song.
I was trying to find my harmonica. No, I was trying to find my harmonica. Let's see if I can. Oh, there it is. Hold on.
If anyone's wondering, it's very expensive to pay movers. I'm hiring movers, and they're charging me $150 to move.
All right, so we're going now for the Kathy Bacon. What?
Hold on. Did I say $150? I'm hiring movers.
That would be incredibly cheap.
And they're charging me $850 to move me.
It's so exciting to listen to numbers on podcasts. They're just, they're not. So, all right, so we're gonna do our Kathy Bacon theme song here because I told you we're gonna do a big production number here. So here we go. Excellent. It's never
well played, sir.
Right,
you know, I noticed you were even in tune with the beginning.
I know, I was.
Of that. And for those of you, I am seeing Daniel.
Yeah, you're seeing me.
And he was actually playing a real harmonica.
Yes, I was. It is an echo. All right, let's play our voicemail here. From the lovely and talented Miss Kathy Bacon. Let's find it.
Dear Guffy, that message just cut right off. I hope this goes through. Okay, so this is Kathy Bacon and I have a couple little updates.
Yes.
I'm afraid I got the PTSD of ordering cones from McDonald's. I haven't even approached my local McDonald's to see whether or not they had cones available. Definitely was not me in the stolen SUV.
Uh-huh.
Holy cow, but that would be awesome. Like to not have a car payment. Hello. And the other thing, I went to Burger King last week on Thursday. I think it was Thursday, but I went to Burger King and their cones are 50 cents. I did not try one. I mean, that's kind of like cheating on the big old McD, right? So anyway, their cones are 50 cents. don't know if there's good. I think what I need to do is just
50 cent.
Have somebody drive me like to McDonald's so I can like mow down that cone and then directly over to
And then you can look at the person and go, look at my car. Wait, it's not my car.
Okay, I'm driving. Directly over to Burger King and have a little taste test or whatever. But, hey, I know I could, like, have Gerald go and get one at McDonald's and my son get one at Burger King. And I could be, like, sitting someplace in the middle. So they'd arrive at the same time. But anyway, I was sitting in there for, like, a long time with my, like, this lady friend of mine. And, no, she's not a lesbian. And
no.
So we're sitting in there, we're to each other, and I'm just like, holy crap.
Is she on Cocktails and Cream Puffs? Because they have a woman that's not a lesbian. So maybe your friend.
There are very few.
Women. There's very few women that aren't lesbians. We're just, you know, trying to figure out whether that's the same person or not.
And the clientele, the people that come in here are, well, I hate to be rude, so I won't. Anyway,
what the fuck is that?
Something else. Something I've never seen before in the middle of the afternoon at Burger King. I just went there for the free fountain shot, you know, so I could just sit there and, like, get a caffeine buzz off of all the free diet Coke and Coke mix, because I mix them. I mean, like, go half and half. So anyway, we're sitting there, and it's like for every family that came in, somebody like from the kitchen came out and visited them. And all I gotta say is those people at Burger King, they need to wash their uniforms more often. Sorry. It's the truth.
Now, did someone, the phone's over. The phone call's over. Did someone come out and visit you? Because you said for every person that came into, did you follow that at all?
It's very stream of consciousness.
All right, there's ice cream at McDonald's, which is 50 cents.
I think she was saying it's 50 cents at Burger King.
Well, someone just posted a graphic here, this 50 cent soft serve cone. I think that was at McDonald's.
Oh, I don't know. Something about 50 you know cent what? Cones.
Thank you so much for calling, Miss Kathy.
Thank you so
really
much.
Do appreciate your you know, I live, it's funny because I live in you know, New England now, and there's a lot of farms up here, like dairy farms. They have like ice cream here that's supposed to be like, you know, really, really good. And I haven't gone around to try them all yet. But, you know, like Ben and Jerry's is like one state away from us, like, well, two states, but it's, you know, in Vermont there. So we're up in ice cream country, and I haven't really tried all the ice cream.
We have something called Andy's Frozen Custard or something. It's pretty good.
But that's Arkansas, but that's like, that's not real ice cream. Can you play us out of this segment here?
I can.
3, 2, 1. Excellent. All right. So I think we've killed this.
We must have old listeners.
I know they're all just, dear God, it's 12:01.
Look at the time. Look at the time, Martha. Oh, jeez. Gotta soak my false teeth before bed.
I can't. I know that it's the last segment, and all I got to listen to you do is to try to work the title of the previous show into a line or anything. But no, I'm going to bail right now. I'm not going
to
stick around for that extra 3 minutes.
I got
to hear the way that you're going to cleverly.
I cannot listen. I got to go to bed.
I
got to get up because I got to get my beauty rest. Because in the morning, I got to help with an unfortunate dolphin assisted birthing.
DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That's 229-234-7587. Or send us an email at contact@dubiousintent.com. You can also check out our website, dubiousintent.com, and find absolutely nothing. It's like there's no link to anything there. How do we even exist with this?
If you go to the contact section, you can see our email addresses.
Oh, great. So you can email us, but it says right in the show that you can send it to contact@dubiousintent.
And the banner has our phone number.
But I'm just saying, where's our Google Plus page? Where's our Facebook page? Where's our Twitter thingies?
We need an intern.
We do. We should get an intern. We should have a contest.
Right.
We're really good at those. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.